happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
That's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We've been making pickles here in the back, and there'll be a video posted on the website. You'll be able to see what kind of pickles were we making there, Rhonda Matthews of the Clemson Extension Office?
We're making bread and butter pickles, and they're refrigerator pickles, the easiest ones to make.
Absolutely. And so you'll be able to see the video on this. I and Eller actually helped. We had a good time doing that, and we've got to finish them up right now. I guess they're just kind of stewing. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, they're cooling down. So as soon as they're cool, we're going to slide them in the fridge, and they'll be ready, and we'll give them a couple weeks to go, and they're going to be delish.
Delish. Okay, so that's great. Well, Rhonda Matthews, you brought along Jenny Munford. She's also with the county extension agent. You're with 4-H and Youth Development right there in Abbeville. How are you doing today, Jenny?
Good, thank you.
Well, now, since we've talked to Rhonda before, we do need to get a little background on you.
Sure.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up around Columbia in the Midlands area of South Carolina and moved up to Abbeville after a short stay on the coast of South Carolina. So I've spent many years in the state and enjoy being here.
Well, now, when you were growing up, what did you like to do? Did you grow up on a farm? Or?
I did grow up on a farm. We had a unique farm. We had bison and pick-your-own berry fields.
Bison and fruit.
Yes.
Now, how popular is bison meat?
In South Carolina, not very.
Okay, so where did it get shipped out of state?
Well, we didn't focus on the meat production. We focused on the animals themselves, raising and selling the calves. We just had a very small herd.
Oh, okay. All right, so you weren't into that. So, well, that's pretty interesting. Now, what kind of berries did you have?
We had blueberries and blackberries, and from living on the farm, I developed my love for animals and outdoors and horticulture and went to Clemson and earned a degree in wildlife biology. And
what did you think you were going to do with that?
Well, I knew I didn't want to do management, but I always loved the outdoors and teaching that avenue. So I spent many years as a naturalist and doing environmental education, and after a childhood of 4-H experience and college experience in 4-H, it was a pleasure to be hired as a 4-H agent using my life learned lessons on the farm and in 4-H, and now I'm teaching 4-H. So.
And how is 4-H over in Abbeville?
It's growing by leaps and bounds. I began in 2007 with very little on the ground after a vacancy as a full-time agent for more than 10 years. There was just a few projects going with the agents that worked in the county, and now there's upwards of 1,000 kids reached through more than 25 projects annually.
Wow.
Just in Abbeville.
Wow.
So,
that's great. Rhonda, I guess you're glad she's on board, right?
I couldn't be more excited.
That makes things a little easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We're really excited that Jenny came to join us in Abbeville. We're fortunate in Abbeville. We think we're extraordinarily fortunate. Abbeville is one of the rural counties. Agriculture is alive and well in Abbeville, and the kids that are in 4-H are in, the majority of them are in those traditional ag programs, and we're just super excited to have such a thriving ag-based 4-H program. And those kids, we have kids in that office almost every single day coming to see Miss Jenny about some kind of 4-H something, you name it. You never know who's going to come in that door asking for, I mean, the sky's the limit what they're going to ask for, but them, their mom, their dad, their grandparents, or, you know, you never know what's coming through that door. So it's wonderful to see and find out what the next something is going to be. You never know. So.
Well, you know, I think that's pretty interesting, particularly, you know, the fair is coming up, and their whole program has been, what, farm to fair?
That's right.
And I understand you're even going to have some kids down there at the state fair next week.
We will. There is a 4-H day at the fair, October 20th, and there's a 4-H booth at the fair. And then lots of our local 4-Hers, not only from Abbeville County, but in the surrounding counties, exhibit their animals at the fair. I know we have not an Abbeville 4-Her, but a local 4-Her exhibiting their chickens,
mm-hmm.
some exhibiting their 4-H horse project animals at the horse show, beef cattle, dairy cattle, pigs, and goats. All at the fair in Columbia.
You know, it is amazing. I think, you know, we were talking about beforehand whether 4-H was thriving, you know, growing or cutting back. But in truth, I think, you know, when you think about it, everybody is going back to whether it's raising a few chickens in the backyard. Everybody wants to know where their food source is coming from. I guess it's a natural that 4-H is thriving.
Absolutely. And as Rhonda was going on the local agricultural projects, those have been growing by leaps and bounds. We have two different chicken projects. One is the layers and the other is the broilers, the meat birds. And those have been growing by leaps and bounds because everybody can raise a chicken in their backyard, in the city, in the country. You can have chickens wherever. And so if you have 5 or if you have 25, it's very popular.
Yeah, but there's the poop that goes along with it.
I
remember that.
People have gardens and goes right in hand and makes excellent fertilizer.
It absolutely does. I was thinking about visiting my grandmother when I was like 5 or 6 and, you know, just stepping on, you know, the
it's
poop.
It's there. It's part of it.
Because they would let their chickens just roam all around. So, but gosh, they even have these neat houses for the chicken houses, mm-hmm. the little ones.
You can raise a chicken in just about anything.
Wow. Interesting. All right, well, we're going to be talking some about 4-H. We're also going to be talking about what is going on. We've got all this great produce, whether you go to the farmer's market and just buy it or whether you raise it. You've been very busy doing canning projects, mm-hmm. all this stuff. I mean, we had to wait till this time of the year to get you on the air. We've tried for 3 months. So.
I know. I can't hardly stand still. The canning programs are almost consuming my schedule. So myself and the agents that do what I do, the food safety and nutrition side of things, are just running, doing these canning programs. With the local food movement, whether folks are hitting the farmers market, buying their food more, or whether they're just planting a small garden, or whether they're expanding their existing garden, there's been a huge resurgence and folks wanting to learn more about how to put up the food that they're getting on the local level. So they're coming back to the Extension office more and more saying, teach me how, and teach me how to do it right and safe, so that not only does it last longer, but taste the way I want it to, and I know that it's safe for my family to eat, and that's why I'm here. So I can't keep my car sitting still. I can't keep my feet sitting still. I can't keep my phone on the line. So my email is burning up. I can't, and that just, I'm elated with that. I'm so excited. So I do. I run programs all summer long on pressure canning. And then as summer lets up a little bit, I work more with jams, jellies, pickling, and start sneaking those classes in. And folks are seeking me out and finding me. If they don't come to the classes, they call me or email me or come and physically come to the office and find me. So any of
and
that.
And how do they find you?
They, you name it. They call me, they email me, or they come to the office and the Extension office. So, and some of them stop me in the grocery store, and any of the above is fine. I have no problem with that because, you know, the more folks are feeding their family food that is processed as little as possible, that they have grown themselves, and that they are most comfortable with. Anytime someone is eating more and more fresh fruits and vegetables, that's a 2 thumbs up. I mean, who's going to say no to that?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's only a good thing. So if I can help them out, hooray, I'm going to do it. So I'm running as many of these workshops as I can possibly get squeezed into the schedule, and I can't wait to get them in there. So today we made a few pickles to use up some of those last of those summer cucumbers, and you know, we're just helping as many folks as we can with that that kind of idea of using up those local foods. We're working by leaps and bounds. It's done so well that we're recruiting volunteers to help us out in the communities. And I've had folks,
that's a statement. That's
I know.
A real big statement.
We've had volunteers come forward and say, "Hey, if you'll train me up a little bit and help me with some equipment, then I'll go out and do presentations for you and teach some classes for you." And I have a little army behind me that
little
I'm so, yeah, I'm so very proud of them. I've got several counties. I've got Greenwood and Newberry and Lawrence and Abbeville. I've got volunteers in all those counties that that are willing to, when I call on them, they'll say, yep, I'll go out there and do that for you. If I've got conflicts in my schedule that I can't get to those presentations for canning or food safety or whatever, they'll, and I call on them, yep, I'm willing to do it. And they'll grab their stash of equipment and off they go. So
that's terrific.
I know.
That's so terrific. It is amazing that it has come back around. Who would have thunk that we would go back to canning in our society? It's a very good thing. But right now, we've got to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll be talking with Rhonda Matthews and Jenny Munford right here on WCRS. Don't you go away. These days are on.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Here, and our pickles are making as we speak. Rhonda says what, they're cooling down. These are what you call refrigerator pickles?
That's right.
And what's happening to them right now?
Well, they're cooling down, and as soon as they're cool to the touch, right now they're in the brine. So as soon as they're cool to the touch, it takes, but after the brine goes on them, it'll take about 30 minutes until they're cool enough, and we'll slide them in the fridge, and they'll stay in that fridge 2 weeks, give or take, or until you can't stand it anymore. And then you're able to take the lid off and enjoy. So, yeah, it's better to leave them alone for a couple of weeks before you take the lid off and start eating. But sometimes depends on your willpower, yeah.
So, and those are called refrigerator pickles. Now, you can get the recipe packet in the store on those.
Yeah, any place that they sell canning supplies. So most of the discount stores sell that kind of those kind of products. Plus, practically every single grocery store is going to sell those type products, and a lot of the dollar stores will sell those products. So check out those kind of stores, and you'll find those little mixes. And Ball is a typical brand. Mrs. Wages is a typical brand, and those are the two big ones. So if you'll keep an eye out for those. I don't endorse one brand over the other, but those are two of the big ones to kind of keep an eye out for that are that typically turn out really good pickles. So
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, as far as finding the right type of thing, I know I had you on one time before, and we talked a lot about the type of if you're going to process it, if you're going to use heat,
yeah,
or, you know, that type of thing, you have to be real careful with that. Also, the type of jars and making sure that they're sealed properly.
Yeah. When you're canning food, period, you process certain items a certain way. When you want your fruits and vegetables to be shelf stable, meaning they're going to sit in the cabinet. For extended periods of time, and you want to store them for months, you always have to heat process them. So low acid foods, meaning all your vegetables, have to be processed in a pressure canner. So all the vegetables get pressure canned. But higher acid foods, which would be pickles, relishes, chow chows, things like that, and then your fruits, and things like that, those can go in a boiling water bath canner, and that's just the easiest thing in the world. That's basically a big pot of boiling water. So those jars just get submerged in boiling water. And the current recipes have those instructions included at the end. That's always the last step to process for, and it'll give you a prescribed amount of time. Process for 10 minutes in, and it'll tell you either a pressure canner or a boiling water bath canner. So if it doesn't include those directions at the end, call me or email me and ask me for a current recipe, and I'll get it for you.
Now, you say call me, email me. What's the number to call?
Well, if you're in Greenwood, call 223-3264, and then when it answers hit extension 0, and that'll go directly to our administrative assistant, Debbie. Tell Debbie that you need to talk to Rhonda Matthews about a canning question. She'll track me down no matter where I am. Debbie is a crackerjack. I couldn't be more thankful for her. But wherever I am, whatever county, she'll get me, and I'll call you back as quickly as possible, and I'll get you what you need.
Okay, and if somebody wanted to email you?
Absolutely. Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, at clemson.edu, just like Help Me Rhonda. Same thing.
You can have that for your email. I need some help, Rhonda. Oh, boy. I tell you what. So 223-3264, and Debbie, go to extension 0.
Yep.
And then tell Debbie that that's what you need.
Tell her you need Rhonda, and she'll get me.
Rhonda, I need you. Hello.
Yeah, I probably half dozen people before I got over here today. She grabbed me for those folks, and I got them squared away. And I'm curious to see what's waiting on me when I get back to the office. So.
Now, you know, speaking about a pressure canner, you know, mm-hmm. The hot water one, I guess that one. But you do have to be careful with those pressure canners, don't you?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, when I teach the pressure canning classes, that is the single most cited fear of everyone that comes in those classes. Rhonda, I'm so scared of this thing. It's going to blow up. Well, the new pressure canners, the ones that are currently on the market, have so many safety mechanisms built into them. It is virtually impossible to blow those things up. They are as safe as you know, anything that's out there. So it's essentially a matter of just learning how to use them. So don't be afraid of them. Just learn how to use them. They have lid locks on them so that when the pressure is built up, you cannot take that lid off. Now, the older ones, 30, 40, 50 years ago, when my grandmother was canning, those pressure canners did not have lid locks on them. If you took that lid off while it was under pressure, yes, it would blow off. Those old canners did that, and that is what people remember, and that is why they are afraid. The new canners are not made that way. I really want people to understand, do not be afraid of the current pressure canners. They are not designed like the old ones. They are extraordinarily good tools for your kitchen, used to make quality, safe food for your family.
Absolutely. Now, what kind of price is a pressure canner? How much, roughly?
You can buy a 16-quart weighted gauge Presto pressure canner in the neighborhood of, give or take, $65.
Oh, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, you can can 8 quarts at a time, or probably 8 or 9 pints at a time, more or less.
Sure.
So that's probably as much as one person that's a beginner canner would want to wrestle with at once by themselves. I mean, that's enough to spend, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours in the kitchen alone. If there's two of you canning, you can probably get out of the kitchen a little bit quicker. But most folks that are, you know, working up a batch of beans or working up a batch of tomatoes, they don't want to stay in there all day long. So that's enough, you know.
They probably want to get out of the kitchen after that.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's big enough.
All right. Well, we are here with Rhonda Matthews from the regional extension agent with food safety and nutrition. We also have Jenny Munford here. She is the county extension agent for the 4-H and youth development. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about things in the kitchen and things on the farm. So how about that? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. If you got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
All right. We're back here. We've been having a fast and furious conversation right here about all the things going on with 4-H and with the canning. We have Jenny Montford here. She is the County Extension Agent 4-H and Youth Development based over there in Abbeville. But she says anybody can come on over. Is that right?
That's right. It doesn't matter where you live. As long as you want to drive to wherever the programs are happening, we'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Now, you were just telling us a little bit earlier about the pig program. We can buy a pig. I mean, that may be a good idea with a bacon shortage out there.
Absolutely. The Swine Project is one of the ones that we started. This will be our third year that we've had kids involved in it, and they can purchase a project pig through 4-H, raise it, and it is promoted as a market project, so they are able to learn about raising pigs and the maintenance. They show their pig, and then it's processed either for their freezer or they can sell it as a market hog to somebody who is interested.
Yeah, but what if it's like Charlotte and you fell in love with it?
We do have those that fall in love with it, but being that they're market hogs, they turn into 300-plus pounds, and they're not very friendly anymore, and you can't breed them because they're barrows, and it's so kind of hard to think it's cute and friendly in Charlotte anymore.
But now, that I thought it was very interesting. Of course, you said a lot of families, they end up processing
yes.
it. But if somebody doesn't want to, can't bear the idea of eating a pork chop from Charlotte, right?
Yes, ma'am.
They can, you have people that actually end up buying them.
We do try and find a few buyers that are interested in the 4-H pigs. They support the 4-H project, but they will purchase it at either the negotiation of the 4-H'er or at market value of the price per pound of hogs at the time, and the project ends February, March, depending on how big the hogs are at that time. But that is an option that they can sell their pig instead of put it in their own freezer.
Now, what are they actually, I mean, I'm just asking this because I heard the reason they were talking about a pork or bacon shortage was because of the, what do they feed pigs? Gosh, it just went out of my mind.
Corn.
Soybeans. Soybeans. They were saying the soybean shortage was why that story started.
That adds a lot of the protein, and it's the base of their feed
mm-hmm.
in the commercial growing feedlots.
But these are corn-fed ones here?
They can
basically.
Be because most of the families will purchase their feeds from the local feed stores or farm and garden suppliers, and those feed prices may go up, but the families are also welcome to feed whatever they want to at home. The thing with the market hog is they need protein to grow in the time frame that we have the project. It just takes longer to finish out a hog if you raise it on organics or naturally grown or free range, any of those. But those are an option for the 4-H project.
Hmm. All right, interesting. How much does the hog cost, or the little piglet, darling little Charlotte, yes?
We are advertising $65, and that also depends on the market price of the pigs when we actually buy them, because we have yet to go. We'll get them in December. So if pig prices shoot up, we do have to compensate for the cost of the project. But $65 takes you to registration. Can't beat that. It's the cost of the feed and then processing to put the meat that you know what went into it in your own freezer. So that's one of the, not only the you know what you grow, but the values of learning about the project and the responsibility of taking care of an animal and keeping records on your 4-H project and being in the ring and showing it and talking to a judge. Those are things you can't buy.
No, that's true. Well, you know, if they're coming out in December, that actually could make an excellent Christmas gift.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moms and dads, sign up. We have 4-H Christmas pigs for you.
Christmas pigs. We'll put a red bow on it. How old are these pigs when you get them, by the way?
They're going to be around 50 pounds, and usually that's 5 to 7 weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they grow fast. During the show, we'll look for them to be 200 to 240 pounds is the target weight. So they're big.
They're big. Yep. Okay. Well, there you go. You can get a Christmas pig. Now, if somebody's interested in this, what do they have to do?
Sure,
Jenny?
They need to call any of the local extension offices, but specifically the Abbeville 4-H program will be coordinating this Market Hog project this season for the Greenwood, Lawrence, and Abbeville 4-H programs.
So the number to call?
864-446-2276 is the Abbeville office number.
Okay, so you can give them a call, and you can end up with a hog.
And if pigs aren't your thing, we have all sorts of animals throughout the year that we offer as 4-H projects. We also have chickens and rabbits and goats, and there's cattle projects. There's a horse project, but we don't offer any for purchase, just for the learning about horses. So lots of different animal projects and non-animal projects, too.
Yeah, 4-H. I mean, it really is neat that there's a program like that. And you don't have that many of 4-H programs like in a city, so it's nice that we have the possibilities here.
We do, and we're loving the fact that we have the outlets in Abbeville County to have such agricultural-based shows with our arena at the Extension office. That's a county building that provides us the outlet to finish the projects up.
Finish the projects. Now, you wanted to tell us about one more, the tree sale that you're having over there.
Sure. This is an annual tree sale. We've been having it how long now, Rhonda?
This tree sale has been around for 30-plus years.
Wow.
And it's growing and increasingly popular. We do bare rootstock trees. Go ahead.
It is. It's hugely popular, and it provides the public with an opportunity to buy fruit and nut trees for a couple of different options. Either their own home around their home to either grow fruit for their own use there, or we have a lot of folks that are hunters and they plant wildlife food plots. The other option we've run into lately is we'll have folks come and buy large quantities to plant small yew pickets. So we've had lots of different avenues of folks that are interested in that tree sale.
What is the most popular trees in this for this area? Because I don't think apples are really that good. They need that cooler weather.
Well, we sell a lot of those apples, but for that sale, we sell a good bit of the oak trees, and that goes out really to the hunters. It's focused in on, it started out for just Abbeville, but it has grown. I guess the good word got out, and it's just grown. We have folks drive from many counties away to come to that sale. They're priced right, but understanding that they're bare root, they're not guaranteed. So when you plant a bare root tree, the trick of it is take it home and plant it. You can't just let it sit. If those roots dry out, you're sunk. That tree is probably not going to make it. So this is not something that you can dilly-dally with. Go home and get to work with that shovel or that auger, because the money that you've invested, you need to get that thing in the ground. And then you need to stay behind it with the water. If you stay with it steady with regular watering, and you get it in the ground when you're supposed to, it's probably going to make it. The folks that come back to us and report back usually give us a really good report in terms of a success rate. And we sell a fairly good variety of trees, not just one or two. We have figs and blackberries and pecans and oaks and there's
blueberries.
A few blueberries, peaches
muscadines.
Are in there, muscadines are in there, so there's a lot of things in there. So if you're interested in buying just a couple, we have folks buy just a couple of varieties, and then we have folks that'll buy, good night, I mean, it takes, you know, 3 or 4 men to hoist it up on the back of the truck. So
how big are these trees?
Well,
they're small. They're bare root.
You know, they're bare root and they're dormant. So, you know, don't think that, you know, this is something that's fully leafed out and, you know, as big around as, you know, the top of a man's arm, because that's not what you're buying. You're buying a dormant tree, which essentially looks like
a
gigantic stick. That's about right. You know, give it a couple of years and it's going to be an honest to goodness small tree. But they'll range anywhere from, 4 feet up to
8-9 feet.
Yeah, 8-9 feet. And
wow,
some of those
okay.
pecan trees will, good night, some of those things are like 12 feet. So, they'll sell them as 8 feet, but, I mean, they are giants. So,
now, what kind of price range, just a range in price?
If I had to guess, this is a guesstimate, they'll start somewhere around $4, and I'm thinking the pecans are the most expensive thing that we sell, and I'm thinking they're somewhere, Jenny, you may have to help me. Is it like 18, 20, somewhere like that?
It really depends on the variety. But
yeah.
So anywhere from $4 to about $20.
Yeah.
You're not going to look at anything over $30
No.
And they're actually already posted on the Abbeville Extension
That's
website.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you go to www.clemson.edu/Abbeville, take a look there, and you'll see the Abbeville Tree Sale. Just click on that link, and it'll pull up the entire form, including all the instructions on how to fill it out, the deadlines. Everything is there.
Prices
are there. Just take a look at it.
And recommendations on pollination, because some of those fruit trees require specifics on the pollinators, so you'll have fruit.
Okay, that sounds great. Hey, we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. We're here with Jenny Mumford with the 4-H Youth and County Extension Agent Development. She's doing it all over there. Rhonda is in food safety and nutrition. That means she does a lot of canning. Our pickles over there are looking pretty darn good. May have to taste one before she gets it in the refrigerator. I don't know. But anyways, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
My gray sky, hello blue, there's nothing can hold me.
Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're talking with Jenny Mumford when she is our county extension agent over there in Abbeville for 4-H and youth development. If you want to get a pig, hey, you can get a pig. If you want to find out how to grow chickens, you can find that out. There's all kinds of stuff. And, Jenny, you were just telling us, you've got the website, but then you also have a Facebook page for 4-H.
We do. You can look up Abbeville County 4-H on Facebook, or you can look up Jenny Mountford and find the 4-H Clover and add me.
Okay.
Or like those pages, and we'll be happy to get you connected with the local 4-H projects, or if you're in another county, get you connected with that 4-H agent.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you'll have a lot of good programs. You've got. What did you tell us at the beginning of the show? How many kids you've got involved in 4-H right now in Abbeville?
Well, since I began in 2007, we probably had 300 or less kids doing the 4-H program, and now we have upwards of 1,500 kids annually being reached in some fashion by 4-H, just in Abbeville alone.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Keeps me on my toes.
Absolutely. That's
but I love it.
Absolutely. I think that's terrific. So if you'd like more information, if you want to get revved up about 4-H, talk to Jenny. She'd love to talk to you.
Would love to.
Absolutely. All right. So we've talked a little bit about 4-H. We're talking about canning, and I wanted to ask you, what is the difference? I mean, I thought people used to freeze a lot of things, and now it seems like canning's come back in. What's the difference?
Well, we still have folks doing a fair amount of freezing, and freezing is fast, and it's pretty easy to do. It's actually very easy to do. It's basically a matter of blanching it really quickly and then packing it into a freezer container and once it's cooled, and then sliding it on into a 0 degrees freezer unit. The only problem with freezing is if you lose electricity, there's a distinct possibility that you're not going to be able, if your electricity doesn't come back in time, your product may not make it. So if you're a canner, you don't have to worry about that electricity staying on. It's just a matter of sitting it on the shelf and there it is. So that's the advantage to canning. Done properly, all you've got to worry about is it sitting there and waiting for you to eat it.
Now, that brings me to another question, because a lot of people are getting into, you know, they're worried about the future, they're preservationists,
mm-hmm.
they want to make sure they have their own food, and
right.
I've seen shows on TV where people have put up all this mountains of food and everything.
Right.
We have any people doing that in our area?
I do. I get those calls. I get calls where folks want to, excuse me, put away a year's worth of food at a time. I certainly don't discourage that. You know, if you want to put up a year's worth of food at a time, canned food will hold for a year at a time. And we've got directions on how to can fruits, vegetables, meats. And, you know, we can teach you how to do all that stuff. If you don't know, I can either teach you or share the information with you. As long as you've got the space,
I've seen in some homes where it's taken over the home, you know, on TV, some of these shows. Yeah.
That's right. And some folks, and I talk to folks about this in my class, and in terms of storing the items, you know, if you canned a tremendous amount, don't necessarily think of it in terms of putting all this, you know, in the cabinet or in the pantry. You know, it's simply a matter of putting it in a cool, dark, dry place. So it may be in your back bedroom in the closet is where it winds up going. That's legitimate. Or in the back bedroom under the bed. That's cool, dark, and dry. There's nothing wrong with that. Some folks build a shelf downstairs in their basement rec room. That's A-okay. That fits the parameters of proper storage for canned items. So, you know, if you've got that much in your garden and you want to can that much, that's a good way to store it. Just make sure that you're storing it properly.
So. Absolutely. All right, but you've got one more program coming up that's already been scheduled, I do believe.
I sure do, and it is going to be here in Greenwood County. It's going to be October the 20th, which is on a Saturday. Starts at 10 in the morning, and it'll run till 2 in the afternoon, and we're going to learn how to make pickles.
All they got to do is watch the video.
we might make those refrigerator pickles like we did as a bonus.
Okay.
But what I'm planning on doing with that class is doing what's called an end of the season pickles, which is kind of a little bit of everything. Remember those pickles that have got cucumbers plus peppers plus cauliflower, plus kind of everything in the jar, those yummy combination kind of everything. That's what we're looking at doing in that class. But if you take that class, you're going to learn how to make pickles, period. That just happens to be the product that we're going to make. And then if we've got a little bit extra time, we might very well make those refrigerator pickles that you and I made today. So you never know. I really do try to make two products when I run those classes. So
now, what do people need when they come to it?
They need to bring their lunch, because at some point we'll take a little break and we'll take a little bite. So they need to bring their lunch, and I like for them to wear closed-toed shoes because we are working with some boiling liquid. And if you've got a favorite paring knife, bring that with you. And that's it.
That's it. So you don't have to bring anything to do the canning or anything?
No, I bring it all. So the registration fee is $30. If you'll pay that $30, I bring it all.
Wow. Do they get anything to go home with?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're probably going to have to make two trips to the car.
Okay.
Most folks do. You're going to take home, as a group, we're going to can. So you're going to take home everything that we can in class. And like I said, we usually try to make at least two products. I've got lots of items that the canning companies send to me, Mrs. Wages and Ball. So I've got lots of mixes and things like that that they like to send out as promotional items. I'm going to load you up with that. I'm also going to give you the Ball Blue Book, and there might be some other goodies in there as well. So you're by no means are you going home empty-handed. We'll get you taken care of. You just make sure you wear closed-toed shoes and bring you a little pair of knife, and we'll get you going.
now. Out now. This is on the 20th. Now, how many people can actually take the course?
I'll take the first 10 that pay that $30.
That's not very many.
I know. Well, there's only so many folks that can get around a stove and get around the counter and have it, you know, really be effective. If we get, you know, just jam-packed in there elbow to elbow, it kind of loses its real effectiveness in terms of everybody being able to learn the way they need to. So I've learned that, you know, maybe that first 10 is really where the sweet spot is. So I've cut it off at 10. We're going to have it at the Phoenix Community Center going down toward Callison, if you know where that is. But it's on October 20th on a Saturday from 10 to 2. If any of your listeners are interested, just call the extension office here in Greenwood. And that number is 223-3264. And when it picks up, immediately hit extension 0. And our secretary, Debbie, will get you squared away. Just tell her you want to sign up for the Cannon program.
Debbie, she's a busy girl.
I love some Debbie.
Now, do you have any more programs scheduled, or is that it?
Well, the folks up in Union County grabbed me back in the summer and said, we want you to come up here and do a freezing program on some collards and turnip greens. So it's looking like I may head back up to Union a little bit closer to time to pick collards and such as that. So we're probably going to head back up to Union in a few more weeks. But
what if somebody, if you have more than 10 and somebody wants to have a program?
Well, then they need to call me and they need to say, get on over here, and I will. So just call that extension office here in Greenwood and tell them that you're interested in having a Cannon program. And I say that in all seriousness because I have that happen on a regular basis.
But you have to have four? You want to have
four? Yeah, I like to start with four. And if we can get four, then I'll advertise it, and whoever else comes to join us, that would be wonderful. And we'll go from there. So just call, tell us that you're interested, and we'll pick it up and run with it.
Absolutely. So this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We've had a great time here today with Rhonda Matthews. It's been too long since you've been over here and sat down with us.
I always love to come and visit with
you. Well, we love having you here. And Jenny Mumford, it certainly has been nice to meet you and learn more about what's going on with 4-H.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed being here with you as well.
All right. Well, I guess, folks, she's going to drag me back over there to the stove, and we're going to have to pack up these refrigerator pickles. There will be a video of this on YouTube and, of course, a video of today and, of course, a podcast on WCRS 1450AM.net. That's going to do it for us. Again, thanks to my very special guest today, Rhonda Matthews, Jenny Mumford. Thanks so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.